Ready for a great morning?
Yes.
All right, take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. I'd like to cover something with you that I think is one of the most practical and important subjects in the parts of the Bible that are addressed to us. In the Power for Abundant Living class, in the foundational class, Dr. Roll makes he makes thousands of incredible statements, but one statement that I'd like to pick up on this morning is, he says that the battle of the senses versus revelation faith is the crux. It's the critical, pivotal, central point of the walk of a Christian. The battle of the senses versus revelation faith. We're all in this battle, whether we're going to walk by our flesh, whether we're going to walk by our five senses, our physical five senses, our old nature, or whether we're going to walk by our new spirit nature and all that God put into that nature, to walk by the revelation of the written word and God at work within us. That's the great battle. And it's a growing process. It's a walk. We use that word very deliberately. It implies falling down. It implies making mistakes. It implies getting back up and moving forward and continuing to learn. And God is there to hold our hand and to help us, isn't he? And our goal is to get to the point that for us to walk by our spirit nature, to walk by the Spirit, is as natural, is as simple, is as easy for us. We're as confident in it as we are in our walk in our old man nature, in our flesh that we've had all of our lives. So this morning we're going to look at this in two parts. We're going to start by looking at the two natures in the child of God. And then in the second part, we're going to look at some believers, primarily Peter, walking in the Spirit in the book of Acts. So we'll start with the two natures and the sons of God. You could subtitle this, "What the heck is my problem anyway?" So that's what this is going to tell us about. When we confessed with our mouths Jesus is Lord and we believed God raised him from the dead, we were born from above. We received the second birth. We were born again of God's Spirit. And that's fantastic, but it also makes us a very odd creature. We alone, out of all of God's creation, have been born twice. We alone, out of all of God's creation, have two different natures on the inside. And those two natures are opposed to each other. They're in conflict with each other, as Galatians 5:17 says. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "For the flesh," and that's that first birth nature, "lusteth against the Spirit," the second birth nature, "and the Spirit," the new nature, "against the flesh," the old nature, and these are contrary, they're opposed one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You don't do the things that you really want to, the things that you know you should. That explains a lot, as God will show us here. And these two natures are referred to by many different names in the Bible. The first birth nature is called in the Bible the flesh, among other things, the old man and the sin nature. The new nature that we received in the new birth, the second birth, is referred to as the new man. It's referred to as spirit, of course. It's referred to as the divine nature. And both of those two natures are a package deal. The spirit refers to everything that we got in that gift from God, that whole spiritual package that we received, all the rights and the privileges and the abilities, all the characteristics that are wrapped up in that. That's why sometimes we refer to that as the totality of the new nature. It's a whole package deal, that new nature. And the old nature, the flesh, is also a package deal. The flesh doesn't just refer to the physical body, you know, to skin and meat and bones and organs and all that. The flesh refers to all that came in that first birth, that whole package of body and soul, and all those inborn characteristics and abilities and traits that are wrapped up in that first birth. We could maybe call that the totality of the old nature. We have two natures, each of which bring a whole package of things. So that's what we mean when we say that we have two natures, that in each birth we got certain inborn characteristics that came with that nature, certain traits, certain attributes that were present in the seed that brought about that birth. Let's go to Genesis 1. To really understand this further, we got to go all the way back to Genesis 1 to see God's design. We're going to see how we got into this mess of having two natures, and we're going to see that the key to all of this in God's design, the key to the nature of all things is the kind of seed it comes from. The kind of seed it comes from. And once you understand this, if you can understand this principle of the seed nature of things in the Bible, it will open up hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible to your understanding. And you'll be able to see more how we can walk as sons of God, how we can be what God has called us to be. In Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 11, please. Genesis 1, verse 11. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." And I want you to remember those words, after his kind, because they're central to everything God has done. And it says then, "whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. "And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." So those are plants. Plants have seed in themselves and they produce after their kind. What about animals in God's design? Look at verse 25. Genesis 1:25. Go down to verse 25. Same is true of animals in God's design. It says in verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind." I think he's emphasizing something here. "And God saw that it was good." So in God's design for life, God's design for plants, God's design for animals, God's design for man, who we haven't gotten to yet, and even God himself, they all have seed in themselves. They all pass their life and their characteristics on to their offspring by that seed, and that seed can only produce after its kind. Those are principles in everything that God has designed, in every part of creation. They're woven into all of that. So that means that grass seed can't produce whales, and apple seeds can't produce grass, and fish can't produce chickens. Everything after its kind, okay? This is critical. And the seed nature of everything God has made, everything has seed, and the seed nature of everything has in it characteristics that can't be changed. They can't be changed. And the seed determines all the characteristics that are manifested. This is an apple seed. I know you can't see it, they're not very big, but this is an apple seed that came from an apple in the dining room. Coated into this little apple seed are all the characteristics of what will come out of this. It determines what kind of bark it'll have, what kind of trunk it'll have, what kind of leaves it'll have, the size and color and sweetness of the fruit. It's all in here. The seed determines what will come out of it. It's God's principle for all of life. The same is true of animals. The seed of an animal determines whether it will have fur or whether it will have scales or whether it will have feathers, determines what size it is, it determines its shape, its coloration. Now, we could mess genetically, scientists can do this sometimes, with the characteristics of this seed, and maybe if it's a yellow apple seed, maybe we could make it come out red or make it a little bigger, but it's still going to be an apple. It's still going to be an apple. No matter what we do, we can't make it produce watermelons because all things are after their kind according to their seed, let alone produce a frog or a bird. It's an apple seed, and it can only produce apples. And the same is true of people. That's why, as they never tire of hearing me say, this is why we tell people to pray for our sons so much, because they're stuck with my characteristics that they received in the seed. So they need a lot of prayer. It's a principle of life. So Adam originally had two natures. He had the soul life that God breathed into his flesh, and he had the spirit life that was the image of God. And originally, both those natures were perfect. Both of them were perfect in God's original design. But we know that Adam chose to disobey, didn't he? And when he disobeyed, there were drastic effects on both natures. He lost the spirit nature. It died. He no longer had that nature, that seed, and those characteristics anymore. And his physical nature, the life of his flesh, became corrupted. It became poisoned. And God calls that poison, that damage to the physical nature, sin. That's what it is, the sin nature. It got damaged, and it, from then on, is called the sin nature. And immediately after losing the spirit nature and damaging the flesh nature, Adam began to manifest characteristics or fruit of that seed that was now damaged. He began to show forth things like he went by his senses instead of by the revealed word of God. He did useless works to cover for his emptiness and shame. He was afraid, even afraid of God who had only done him good. And he blamed others and blamed God for his problems. Those are all things Jerry talked about on Sunday, aren't they? They're characteristics of this seed nature. They're inside of us by that old man nature that is damaged by sin. That's why we have those in our lives. That's why we manifest those. Since Adam is everybody's great, 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 great grandfather, we all inherited that nature. It all got passed down to us, that life, that nature, and the characteristics, the fruit of that nature are present in each one of us when we were born. It left every person born into the world a sinner. It left every person born into the world walking in fear, sin consciousness, and condemnation, separated from God, not by their actions, but simply by the nature of the seed that they were born with. That's the old nature. And we were doomed to that unless a solution could be found. But thankfully, God had a solution. Look at Romans 5, please. Romans 5. If you can understand this principle, you're going to be able to understand how to walk by the Spirit. And that's what we're after today, how to walk by the Spirit. So many times when we're talking to believers and people who are getting into the Word, and even people who've been in the Word a long time, one of the questions that comes up all the time is, how can I learn to walk by the Spirit? How can I learn to walk by revelation? How do I know when it's God? And all these kinds of things. And those are great questions. That's what we ought to be asking. That's what we should want. Well, one of the keys to understanding all of that is this. We have to start with understanding that we have two natures. And how can we have more of the one nature, this perfect nature of God in manifestation, and less of the old nature? Here in Romans 5, it talks about how we inherited this corrupt nature. Look at Romans 5:12, and it's going to tell us of God's solution to this tremendous problem man had. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, as by one man," that was Adam, "sin," that's the sin nature entered into the world, and death entered by sin, by the sin nature, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned, that just means that we were all born with that sin nature, that corrupted nature genetically in the flesh. We all got it by birth. That's why we've all sinned, just by our nature. Look at verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Adam, who's the figure of him that was to come. Who was to come? Jesus Christ, right? And he would be the solution to this problem of this sin nature. Even though we personally didn't commit high treason against God, like it says here, as Adam did, we all have Adam's nature. We all have that sin within us because we received in that nature the wages or the fruit of that nature, which is death. Why death? Because it's a dead nature and everything is after its kind. A dead nature can only produce death. It's all it's got in it. It can't produce anything else. And that's why death entered in. And no law, no works, no discipline on our part could make that dead nature produce anything but death. It simply can't be done. It's not in its nature. It's not in the characteristics inborn into it. You can try to make that old nature act good, but it doesn't change what's on the inside. I suppose we could take a dog and train him to act like a cat, but would that make him a cat by nature? No, he's just acting like it on the outside, right? You can prop up the weeds in your yard with stakes designed for roses and give them fertilizer designed for roses, but are they going to produce sweet-smelling flowers that look like roses? No, it's still a weed. It's nature. You can't fake it. You can't change it to be something it isn't. It's impossible. Those characteristics are simply not in the seed. They're not in the nature. A man could dress up like a woman, but can he get pregnant? What if he prays? No, it won't work. Why not? It's simply not in the nature of that seed, of the male. Turn to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. This is how all this works. And God needs us to understand this. Because we tend to start at the other end. We tend to start on the outside. We want the fruit of the Spirit. We want to operate manifestations. That's great. But it doesn't start at this end. It starts with seed. And then it goes from there. We cultivate that seed, as we'll see, and those other things will be produced naturally. By the way, this seed principle, this after its kind, is one of the reasons that we know that the theory of evolution, the way it's been taught generally, can't be true. I'm sure there are a lot of things we don't know about what happened in the beginning and all that. However, the standard explanation of evolution requires for things to change kinds or genuses over and over and over. And God has said that that's simply not available. It's simply not possible. It's true that there are a lot of different varieties of apples in the world. It's true that there were all kinds of different Galapagos finches, which is what Darwin got his idea from. It's true that we all look different, but everything is still within its own kind. Apples are still apples, and birds are still birds, and we are still people. Nothing crosses that line of kind, and that's why the theory doesn't work. And you know, you can forget about all the geology and biology and all that stuff about evolution. And that's all a smokescreen when you get down to it. If you think about it, the religious doctrine of evolution, and don't make any mistake about it, it's a religious doctrine. It's not a scientific observation. The religious doctrine of evolution, if you carry it to its logical conclusion, says two things. There's no God, that's its logical conclusion, or if there is a God, you don't need him because mankind can evolve on his own to be better without God. That's the first conclusion of that doctrine. And the second conclusion of that doctrine is that man does not need to accept Jesus Christ and receive spirit from God because his nature can evolve, and therefore flesh can produce spiritual fruit. Man can tap into the greatness of the design of the universe without God and without having to receive spirit. And those are both lies. Do you see why the adversary promotes this so hard? It gets rid of God, and it gets rid of the understanding of the two natures, which is the one thing we really need to know to walk and to kick his ass. Of course he's promoting this. Of course he's trying to get rid of it. Because this lie gets rid of the two key things that make all this work. So don't fall for it. It's a lie. Jesus Christ was abundantly clear in Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Luke 6, 43. He said this, Luke 6, 43. For a good tree brings forth not corrupt fruit. Can't do it. Not available. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Simply can't do it, not in their nature. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. It's foolish to look for a different fruit from a tree than that tree produces, than that seed produces. It can't do it. Everything after its kind. And fruit is just a manifestation, it's just a way of showing on the outside the nature of the seed on the inside. And that's why Jesus Christ in John 3:6 said, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh, after its kind. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit, after its kind, right? That which is born of elephants is elephants. That which is born of watermelons is watermelons. It's just a law. And this is crucial to how everything God designed works. Look at verse 63 of John 6. Look at John 6 here a minute. The question then is whether there's any way for the flesh, the old nature, to produce any good fruit. Well, Jesus Christ answered that question in John 6 in verse 63. Look at John 6:63. Can the flesh, can the old nature produce any good fruit? Well, let's see what he says here. Verse 63 of John 6 says, it is the spirit, the new nature, that quickeneth. It's what makes you alive. The flesh, the old nature, profits how much?
Nothing.
How much?
Nothing.
And when God says nothing, what does he mean?
Nothing.
Nothing. Zero. Zilch. It profits nothing. It can't produce anything of value. It is impossible to get any good fruit out of the flesh. It's not in its nature. And that completely contradicts what all the philosophies and religions out there teach. They all teach that man is basically good. They all teach that, well, you just have to find that good in there and somehow fan it and bring it out, and then it will manifest itself. Or man is a spark of the divine, and you just work with that, and it will come out. But you don't certainly need to accept the new nature from God. It's a lie. It can't be done. It produces, what does it say again? The flesh profiteth nothing. We'll see in a few minutes where Jesus, in the epistles it says later that our flesh, in our flesh, is no good thing. No good thing. So, God says it profits nothing. The technical term for this is icky, yucky, stinky, poo-poo head. I wish you could read it in the original. It's in there somewhere. Look at Romans 6. Two births. Romans 6. Two births, two natures, and the one cannot produce the characteristics of the other because everything has to be after its kind. Romans 6. Before we got born again, we only had one nature, a rotten one. It was a rotten nature, and it couldn't produce anything but rotten fruit that led to death. So how do we get out of this mess? Well, only God could do it, and he did it by sending his son to die for us and by raising him from the dead, and then on Pentecost making available a new birth, a new seed, a new nature, his nature. Romans chapter 6, verse 21. This is how it works. Romans 6, 21. It says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things, the end of that nature and of that fruit is death. But now, in the new birth, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your new kind of fruit unto holiness. And the end of that new nature, its ultimate fruit, is everlasting life. For the wages of sin, of the sin nature, is death. But the gift of God in the new nature is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The old nature is so corrupted, it's so rotten that it cannot be fixed. God didn't even try. He just said, that one is no good. I'm giving you a new one. Here's a replacement. The new nature is so perfect that it doesn't need to be fixed. It's perfect. It just needs to be manifested. It just needs to be acted upon. It produces fruit unto holiness and everlasting life, everything after his kind. The seed of God makes us his kind. The seed of God makes us like God. The seed of God has all the characteristics of a perfect heavenly Father in us. And that's what he gave us in the new birth. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is our way out. This is our victory. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's a verse that we're very familiar with. Sorry, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1. We're going to go to 2 Peter in a moment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a verse we're very familiar with, but let's read it in light of what we're studying here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. It says, being born again, that's the second birth, not of corruptible seed, that's a seed that's ruined, it's corrupted, it's perishable, it doesn't last, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So this new seed that gave us this new life has as one of its characteristics that it's incorruptible. That's why that seed in us is everlasting life, because it can't be corrupted, it can't die, it can't get sick, it can't be lost. Look at what 2 Peter says about this new birth nature. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. verse 4, 2 Peter 1:4. Says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what kind of a nature? A divine nature, the divine nature, the divine kind, having escaped the corruption, that's the same word as corruptible seed, the corruption or the corruptible seed that's in the world through lust. So there are two seeds and there are two natures, and each of them produces fruit in our lives. And the best side-by-side comparison of the nature and the characteristics of these two seeds is in Galatians 5. Let's go there. Fruit produced by each one's seed nature, their inborn characteristics. Galatians chapter 5. God lines the two up right next to each other so we can see what's going on in our lives. Galatians chapter 5. And we can understand how we can walk in the new nature, how we can manifest the characteristics of our Father, how we can walk in the love and the power and the peace and the joy that are ours as a birthright in that new birth. Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, 19 says, now the works of the flesh, the old corrupt nature, the totality of the old nature, are manifest. They come out. Fruit is a manifestation of the characteristics inside. And the fruit, the manifestation of the flesh, are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Now, we don't have to get into all the definitions of those to know that we probably don't want this stuff in our life, right? I mean, pretty obvious this is not what we want here, right? But it's all the old nature can produce. It's all that's in the seed. It's all that's in that nature. It's all it can give us. It's inborn, unchangeable, and unfixable characteristics. But we have another nature, don't we, that we can cultivate and that we can manifest. And what are its unchangeable, inborn characteristics that show up on the outside when they're cultivated? Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and Spirit here refers to that totality of the new nature, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Now those we want, right? Those are the characteristics of our Father, and they're in us too. But every born-again believer has in him both natures. We're Jekyll and Hyde, or more accurately, we're the nature of the fallen Adam and the nature of a perfect God in one person. That's why we're so wacky many times. This is what's going on here. And each one produces fruit, produces characteristics that are inborn to that nature. And that's what causes the conflict that we feel in our lives, and we all feel it every day. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Don't you wonder sometimes what the heck is wrong with me? I've been in the Word all this time, and yet sometimes it seems like I've gotten nowhere. I find myself doing the same messed up things I used to do before I got in the Word. You know, I know it's never happened to any of you, but it happened to the Apostle Paul, so don't feel bad. He's going to talk about it here in Romans 7. This is our problem, but God has supplied a solution. Romans 7, verse 15. Romans 7, 15. We've been talking about how to get rid of fear. We've been talking about how to beat condemnation. This is it. We're in it. All the stuff we've learned all week so far, and this is also a part of it. Romans 7, 15. Paul says of himself, this is the great apostle Paul, he says, for that which I do, Romans 7, 15, I allow not. For what I would, I don't do that. And what I hate, that's what I'm doing. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the old law that it's good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, he says, but sin, the sin nature that dwelleth in me. This is Paul's answer to what the heck is my problem. He says, look, I want to do the right thing. I want to do the will of God. I really love God, but I keep doing this other stuff that I don't want to do. But I understand, he says, I understand where this comes from. The problem is in the sin nature that dwelleth in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, the old nature, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do what's right, but how to perform that which is good, sometimes I just can't find it. I find it not. For the good that I would, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Verse 20. I know you've never felt this way. Now if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now he's not saying, as some people try to, it's not my fault. I didn't do that. Just the way I am. And he's not blaming someone else. But what he is saying is, he's saying, I understand. God has given an answer here. Yes, I want to do the word. And that's the God nature in me coming out, the Christ in me coming out. But I understand why. It's not that I don't love God. It's not that I don't want to do the word. But at times I let the old nature get the best of me. I still walk by the old nature instead of the new. And that's when these things happen. He's not excusing it. He's not saying it wasn't me. I didn't do it. He did it and he knew he did it and he felt bad about it. But he knew why. And that's how we can get on top of it, how we can defeat it. When we let the old rule over the new, these things happen. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is still present with me in that old nature. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's another name for the new nature. My new nature wants to do. It loves. It delights in the law of God. But I see another law in my members warring. It's a war going on. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me back into slavery to the law of sin, the old nature, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. And boy, don't we feel that way sometimes. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this dead body is literally what it says. We feel wretched sometimes, you know, because there's a war going on. Dr. Roll said, the battle of the senses versus revelation faith in the light of the new birth is the crux. It's the key to the Christian walk. Why did he say that? It's right here in these verses. It's the battle of our lives to put on in our minds, to think and to walk according to the new nature instead of the old. That's the key to all of it. Paul says it's like dragging a dead body around with you all the time. But thank God there's an answer. There's hope. There's a way to have victory. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself can serve the law of God. I can renew my mind. I can change. But with the flesh, sometimes I still serve the law of sin. There's a war going on between these two natures, and the battlefield is the mind. The mind. We've got a new spirit nature, but we didn't get a new brain. So we've got to work with this one. In every thought and every action in our lives, we're cultivating, we're feeding one or the other of the two natures. And that's the key. We can change that balance. It's within our power. How do we walk as sons? How do we have the victory? Back to Galatians 5 a moment. Galatians 5. God has told us how to win. Galatians chapter 5. In every thought and every action in our lives, one or the other of the two natures is ruling, and we decide which one it is. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk by means of that new nature, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh," or the old nature. There it is. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary the one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would." Context, unless you walk by the new nature. Then we can do the things that God wants and that we so want to do in our lives. And here's where we really have to understand that we're dealing with two seeds, two roots, two fruits, two natures here. Because religion goes about this backwards, man-made commandments and rules. It tries to work on the outside, fix things up on the outside, instead of recognizing that the problem is on the inside, that we have two different natures, and we have an old man nature, a rotten seed producing rotten roots, leading to a rotten tree with rotten fruit. Well, I'm going to show you here. Let's see if I can get this here. This tree is dead. It's
totally dead.
And on this tree we have some rotten fruit that I've been saving for just this occasion. We have a strawberry here that's become a science experiment. It's growing some kind of penicillin. We have a cherry that's oozing some kind of vile-looking stuff. We have a grape and a blueberry that are looking pretty foul and starting to smell that way. Rotten tree, dead, rotten fruit. That's the old nature. So we say, okay, I see rotten fruit in my life. I'm angry all the time. I envy. I put things ahead of God. I have uncontrolled passions in my life that I don't want. I know the answer is real easy. We'll just clip off the bad fruit and everything will be fine. Okay. There we go. One more. We're going to get... Oh, no. It's for escaping. All right. So we've got rid of that. Now everything's perfect. Everything's beautiful, isn't it? Is everything fine? No, because the tree is still dead. And so it still can't produce anything. It's like going out into your yard and clipping the heads off the weeds. If you don't get rid of the roots, the only thing that grows back is more junk. And that's our life, a dead tree. Okay, so we know there's fruit of the Spirit available. We know there's better available. So I want to be more patient. Lord, make me more patient. Patience, patience. I'm going to be patient. This time, I'm really going to be patient. I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to be patient. That's like trying to take fruit from the outside and hang it on the tree. Oh, look, patience. Okay. Beautiful. There we go. Love. Yes, I have love. Yes. Peace. We have peace. You got it. Yes. Wonderful. Long suffering. Need that one. Yeah, we got to. There we go. Now everything's beautiful, right? There's still a problem here. It's not really growing there. It's fake. So now we have our perfect believer fake love mask. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Love you. Love Jesus. Love God. Yes. There we go. And on the inside, rotten. You know, on the inside, we're hurting. On the inside, there's fear. On the inside, there's bitterness. On the inside, there's condemnation. On the outside, everything looks great. But it's rotten. And it's not really growing there. It's not the real deal. How do we beat this in our lives? How can we not either be run by the old nature nor be, you know, fake in our fruit in our lives? The key, oddly enough, is not to focus on the fruit. It's trying to do it backwards. It's trying to do it from the outside in. Religion says clean up the outside. It won't work. But we have two natures here. Fruit is a byproduct. Fruit is just a natural result of the seed that's in us. We have two seeds, both of which can be cultivated, both of which can be developed in our lives. Again, every one of our thoughts and every one of our actions is watering, is fertilizing, is cultivating one or the other of those two seeds. And then they each naturally produce their own fruit. It happens by itself. So we don't concentrate on the fruit, we concentrate on which of the two seeds are we cultivating in our lives. If we cultivate the old nature some and the new nature some, which is the case with most of us, we're going to see some fruit of the old nature and some fruit of the new nature, and that's the way our life is. But we can change the proportion, can't we? With every thought and with every action, we can decide to cultivate more and more the new nature. And if I cultivate the new nature, if I water the new nature, if I give that new nature more thought time, if I act more on the new nature, you know what happens to the characteristics of the old nature in my life? They begin to wither because they're not being fed. They're not being watered. They're not being allowed to grow. And those begin to wither and diminish in my life. And the characteristics I do want, the fruit I do want, the nature of God I do want, the love, the joy, the peace, all those things I'm looking for just naturally appear more and more in my life. I walk more by the Spirit. I have more power of God. I have less fear. I don't condemn myself. I'm more confident in God. I'm more like God and like Jesus Christ. It happens naturally by which seed we cultivate. That's the key to having those things we badly desire. Let's go to Romans 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Man-made religion says the opposite. It says, stop walking by the flesh, and that way you'll somehow be walking by the Spirit. And that's why religion always begins with laws and rules and commandments of men. They try to make the flesh spiritual, and it simply can't be. It's doomed to failure. Even God didn't try to do it. And if God didn't try, why would we want to? It can only lead to frustration. It can only lead to defeat. It can only lead to our being beaten down. And that's what it does to us when we try it. And that's why religion is so horrible. God said that it's corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and it has no good thing in it. So stop trying. We cannot be spiritual by our flesh, but we have a new nature. We have a spirit nature, and we can cultivate that and be the men and women we want to be and that God desires for us to be as well. Because when we fail, and it's inevitable that we'll fail, religion tells us we're no good. It tells us we don't love God enough. It tells us we're not doing enough. That's not true. We were just trying to do something that God said is impossible, and so it was doomed to fail. In contrast to that, God says in Romans 8:1, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and where it says spirit here, read the new nature, and where it says flesh, read the old nature. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now how much condemnation?
No
condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the rest of the verse is no longer, not in the text, you can omit it. We're no longer under the condemnation of Adam. The death and the separation that old nature brought. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit, the new nature, that is to say the law of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're free people. We're free people. We have the liberty in Christ, but we decide whether we're going to walk free or not. And this is how. Verse 3, for what the old law could not do, in that it was weak through the old nature could not supply spirit life. But God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned the sin in the old nature, that the righteousness of the new law might be fulfilled in us who walk or live or conduct ourselves not according to the flesh, the old nature, but according to the Spirit, the new nature. For they that are after, who live their lives according to the flesh, the old nature, they do mind or think the thoughts of the flesh, the old nature. But those who live their lives according to the new nature, they think the things of the Spirit. They have minds that can think the thoughts of the new nature. For to be carnally minded is death. It leads to death. It can only produce death because that's its nature. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace because that's its nature. Again, a difference in fruit, depending on which of the two seeds we're cultivating. We're watering, we're fertilizing, we're cultivating with every thought and with every action. Thoughts of the old nature bring forth fruit unto death, and thoughts of the new nature bring forth fruit unto life, life everlasting, and the peace of God. Look at verse 16. God has provided another wonderful thing in the new nature. We have the ability to prove and to know that we're absolutely children of God, that we have the spirit nature of God. We can manifest the Spirit, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we manifest that new nature, especially by speaking in tongues, it proves to us, it proves to the devil, it proves to the world that we are men and women of God's genus, of God's kind. We have all of these things. We're born of God. We're really sons of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And that last part, thank God, reminds us that there's a day coming when we will finally be rid of this dead, corrupt nature, this dead body we're carrying around. Christ is coming back. And when Christ comes back, our hope, then this old nature will finally be gone. The battle will be gone. It says in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and that includes the conflict between our two natures, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the full manifestation of the sons of God. We have some of it now. We can walk in it now. But the greatness, the fullness of that new nature, all that we're going to be and going to have, is not here yet. Verse 21, because the creature, the creation itself, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We're sons of God now, whether we manifest it or not. We're sons of God now. No matter how much we struggle in this battle between our old nature and our new, there's still no condemnation. We've still been set free. We're still God's children. We still have everything the Word says that we have and can do what it says we have. And when Christ returns, in addition to our Holy Spirit, we'll receive a new life-giving spirit. The old nature will be gone completely and forever. But while we're waiting for that glorious day, we can choose to cultivate the new nature and walk more and more by it. Let's close in Ephesians 4. We can decide how much we live by the new nature and how much we're led by it. And the key is very simple. How much time do I spend thinking the thoughts of the spirit nature and acting on them versus how much time do I spend thinking the thoughts of the old nature and acting on them? That's why Ephesians 4 says this. Look at verse 22, Ephesians 4:22. It says that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. We take off those thoughts in our minds like a set of old dirty clothes. We just decide that we're not going to think that way. We're not going to go down that path because we have an option. We have another nature. We have a word with which we can renew our minds. That's what verse 23 says. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. Put on those thoughts of who you are, of what God has made you, of how much God loves you, that there is no condemnation, that you are of God's kind, that you have his characteristics, that he designed you for this. You were made to be this way by God, to be like him. That new nature which after God's kind, is created in righteousness and in true holiness. That's its true nature. That's its seed characteristic, and that's its fruit in our lives. Do you see even more now why Dr. Roll said that nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit and the living Word takes the fear out of a man? This is it. We have Holy Spirit, a new nature we can walk in that has no fear in that nature. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that makes us more than conquerors over anything that we might fear. And it's the living Word, Christ, in us. And the word living in our minds that allows the new nature to flower and to blossom and to be manifested in everything we do so that we're the living, walking, talking manifestation of God and his son Jesus Christ and of that word and of our deliverance. It's us, and that's when we finally will defeat fear in our lives. The more we govern our lives by that new nature, the more we walk in that new nature, the more fruit of the Spirit we'll have, the more power of God and the manifestations will operate, the more we will show forth the characteristics of our perfect God, and we will be what God designed us to be as we wait for his son's return. What a great father. What a great seed. What a great life now and in eternity. We are God's children by seed.